we could take this opportunity to sit quietly, have another period of meditation with meditation. Say we're not just trying to make the mind peaceful, or in the sense of just trying to quiet the mind, get the mind to slow down and shut up. But it's it's applying the mind as well to reflection, investigation, and you realize that the mind becomes more peaceful when we've see something clearly or reflect on it clearly, as opposed to just exerting one's will to try to keep the mind still and quiet. So that's an aspect of desire, an informed desire, where one, because sometimes that desire to experience quiet and still is a desire that oftentimes comes out of aversion to experiencing the movement of the mind or the impingement from outside one. So that desire is then a condition for actually more agitation. But to formulate that desire to take an interest in the mind, to reflect on the experience of the mind as we sit quietly, just being present with the experience of the breath, and paying attention to the experience of desire, listening to the desire, so that we can understand it. Because that when we listen to the desire, and the particular desire that's there may be, just as I say, that desire based on aversion, when we listen to it, you can feel it's not a happy camper. And so it giving it some space, recognizing that's where we can let go, and then reformulating that desire, lifting up the mind to a desire for well-being, a desire for a sense of satisfaction, and it's out of an act of kindness toward oneself. Because that's when our desires are formulated out of kind of a kindness and generosity of spirit, it has a very different result, a very different effect. Listening to that desire. Listening to what it's saying, listening to its expression, because so often, desire, you know, formulates itself as, you know, I'll never be happy without, unless I have this. And but when you listen to it and watch and let it play itself out, and then, like, it's really interesting to watch when we don't get what we have desired. And you realize, well, the world hasn't actually changed. I just didn't get what I wanted. It's not as if I'm diminished by that. It's just, oh, that was there, and then it wasn't. But that's, you know, the impulse, of course, is to be pulled by it, to be drawn into it. And that's, I say, as in meditation, we can listen to it. We can listen to that desire, and then it's kind of like listening to it and giving the chance for it to mature and to grow up a bit, and then it'll change on its own, because again that the. You know, the fundamental impulse that we have is always to, you know, how do we increase happiness and decrease suffering? But to listen carefully, to have a sense of, you know, kind of circumspection that allows those that desire to wash in and to wash out again, and then to be able to have the clarity to then apply the mind to a desire or a desire system that's actually going to fulfill. So you can do that with as we pay attention to the breath. The mind will, you know, so often, you know. You know, scrambling around trying to get the right method, the right technique, worrying about this itch or that pain, obsessing about whatever is going to happen next, and then to be able to listen to that, and then let it cease, and then let things settle. And as we do that, then we're much more able to allow a more mature desire to formulate, one of taking an interest in Dhamma, motivating the mind to lifting itself up to what is actually bright and clear. So it's a sort of interesting area of experimenting. So we can sit quietly for 20 minutes or so, and then we'll have a break for lunch.